Masechta Tainis, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, Taisa to Yamaschel, Eina Bageres, Rashol, and Navel Atzma. The Gemara at the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph had recorded the statement of Rava, which is against the view of several of the other Amoraim, that an Ovel is mutter lirchos b'tzoinen kol Shiva. That he's allowed to bathe even his whole body in cold water during Shiva. We don't pass him like Rava, but that's Rava's opinion. So the Gemara quoted Akasha from a Braisa on Rava, that states as follows, and this did the Maschil of Tosfos. Eina bageres rasha lenavelus atzma vimei evel aviha. That a bageres, namely a girl who's 12 and 6 months old, so the literal meaning of the words would be that she is not permitted to make herself unseemly in the days of the mourning of her father. And the reason for that halacha, as Rashi explains, is because since she is already of marriageable age, so we want to make sure that she's able to get married more easily, so she should appear attractive and not unseemly. And then the Gemara makes a diuk that a na'ara, a girl who has already reached bas mitzvah, but not yet 6 months, so the implication is that she is rasha'ol in navel atzma. The simple translation being that she is permitted to make herself unseemly. So the Gemara thought at first that it's a kashan rava, because they thought it was talking about bathing, that the bogeres is not allowed to not bathe and make herself unseemly as a result of that, but Anara is literally permitted to make herself unseemly, meaning is permitted not to bathe. And here we have that in Avelus, the default is that you're not allowed to bathe. And it's only the Bogaris who has a special exception to the rule. So Tosis deal with the specific meaning of Rasha, which seems to be used in somewhat of an atypical way here. The words of Tosis, Eina Bogaris Rasha Lenavel Atzma, Omeri. The restates the ha rasha, that this word rasha in this context, which typically would mean permitted, lav dafka, it doesn't really mean in this context permitted. El hachikamar, this is what it means here. Eina bogeres chayeves, that the girl who's 12 and 6 months old or older, she is not obligated. Hanara chayeves, and then by extension, the meaning of the diuk of that anara is rasha, which in the simple plane would mean that she is permitted not to bathe, but in this context would mean that she is obligated not to bathe. So in sum, the braisa that states that a bogeres is rasha lenavelus atzma, according to the havmin of the Gemara having to do with bathing, so the way to read that is that the bogeres is not obligated to make herself unseemly by not bathing, meaning that she is permitted to bathe, in a word. And the Nara is Rasha, in this context, the word Rasha, again meaning Chayeves, the Nara is obligated in the prohibition against bathing. Again, the Maskana Sagamara is not talking about bathing, it's talking about makeup, but Tosis is going on the Havamina, but really focusing on the word Rasha, which typically means permitted. So Ein Rasha would mean not permitted, and Rasha would mean permitted, but that doesn't make too much sense in this context. So Tosa states that it means Rasha Chayeves, Ein Rasha means Ein Chayeves. On the margin, they point out that a similar idea appears in Tosas and in other Masechtas, where they actually quote that the Targum Onklis of Chayev, or having to do with the debt, is Rashu, or Rishu. So that would be the meaning over here. Just taking a look at what Tosas is saying here, is that the Bogeres, who is of marriageable age, or even above marriageable age, a lot of young girls in the times of the Gemara would get married already at the stage of Naras, so Bogeres is already older than that. So the simple reading of the Gemara would mean that she is obligated to make herself appear in an appropriate way so that she should be able to get married. So she's not allowed to not bathe. But Tosfos assume that that's not the case. She has the choice. She's not obligated to do so. Perhaps based on the fact that women technically are not chayav pur ravu, or that the chamim wouldn't impose that on her in the days of the mourning of her father, to dafka make herself look beautiful. So therefore Tosfos interprets it to mean that Eina Bogeres Rasha Lenavelus Atzma, she's not obligated to engage in that particular practice of mourning. Whereas the Nara, simple reading of the Gemara would mean that she's allowed to engage in that practice of mourning and not to bathe. But Bipshuto, since she is, I guess, just of marriageable age, and therefore there's no emergency yet, so she is actually obligated in the rules of mourning and is not allowed to bathe. Tos Dira Maschil, Elevitzonein, the Bach adds in one word to make the Dira Maschil of Tos conform with the gears we have in the Gemara. Elelav Bitzonein. The Gemara, in analyzing the braisa that we just recorded, where it permits the bogeres to bathe and prohibits the nara from bathing. So what kind of bathing is that? If it's talking about hot water, so that would be hard to imagine that the Chachamim would lift that prohibition for a bogeres. Rishonim explains it is possible with cold, and the differential is not so great, so they wouldn't be permitting a bogeres to take a hot bath. So it must be they were talking about a cold bath. They were talking about a cold bath, so here we are prohibiting a nara from bathing in cold. And the same, of course, would be true for everyone else by default, and that's against Rava, who says that an ava is allowed to bathe in cold. So that's what Tosa explains. The Ka'amar Na'ara Rasha, based on what Tosa said earlier, that here Rasha means obligated, and here Tosa's paraphrases, Kalomar da Asura, meaning that she is prohibited, meaning she is obligated in that prohibition of bathing. The Bach changes the next two words to not va'at amrit, but to v'ein omrin, presumably an expansion of an abbreviation in a proper way. With that change, it helps the Tosas flow a little better, so we'll read it with that emendation. Ve'ein omrin devitzonin mutter. And we don't say that cold water is okay for an avil. So that's against Rava, as Tosas now proceeds to state, ve'kosha l'Rava de omar devitzonin mutter. That's difficult on Rava, who says that cold water is mutter for an avil. And now Tosas just quotes the answer of the Gemara, Mishani, and the Gemara answers, ki katani akichul ve'apirchus. That brisa that says that a bogeres is allowed to forego that rule of mourning and an ara has to engage in that rule of mourning, it's referring to makeup. But maybe bathing could be like Rava, that cold water is always allowed for everyone and not just particularly the bogeres. And even an ara would allow to be bathing in cold water just like everyone else. As before, this Peirush of Tosfos is very similar to what appears in our Rashi. The Gemara quotes a debate between Rav Yehuda, who says that a Yochid who accepts a Tainis, in the continuation of the Gemara, perhaps only a Yochid who accepts the stringencies of a Tainis Sibur, says Aneinu, just like the Chazan says it, according to the Maskanas of Gemara, as a bracha by itself, after the bracha of Goel Yisrael, before Rafa'enu, ben Goel Rofe. After challenging this opinion that a Yochid should not be saying an additional bracha in Shemona Esrei, so Rav Yitzchak says that we say Aneinu as a Yochid in Shomea Tefillah. So Tosfos just elaborates halacha lemaisa as to the details of that particular psak. Hachi psak b'shmeitza. And that is the final ruling in our Gemara. They point out that that's the maskana on Yud Dalem and Aleph on the next Omud. The Tefillah's tainis b'shomea Tefillah. That the tefillah of a fast day, namely Aneinu, is stated in Shemei Tefillah by the individual. V'ein yachid kovei bracha l'atzmo, and an individual does not add in an extra bracha in Shemona Esrei, as does the Chazan. And therefore, Tosfos elaborate. L'chach sarach kishomer Aneinu b'Shemei Tefillah. Therefore, when you say Aneinu in Shemei Tefillah, skipping the word in parentheses, because Tosfos already said the word sarach. L'chach sarach kishomer Aneinu b'Shemei Tefillah la'omro kodim sheomer abracha. Before you end the bracha of Shemei Tefillah. Now here we have an argirsa kishemagia l'Aneinu, when he reaches Aneinu. So the girsa we have is somewhat tautological because we're talking about Aneinu. So Tosfos should be saying at what point in the regular bracha of Shema Koleinu we insert Aneinu. So what is that point? So on the margin of the Oz Vahar, they point out that one of the Achronim, the Ginzei Yosef, changes the girsa to Rekam Al Teshivenu, which is the ending of the main part of the bracha before the concluding words of Ki Atah Shomea Tefillah. Then they quote an alternate girsa of Leva'aneinu. Apparently in the Machzor Vitri, so the end of the main part of the bracha would end with the words Va'aneinu. Either way, what Tosfos is driving at is that we insert Aneinu, as we have in Asidurim, right before the closing phrase, which is right before the Baruch Atah Hashem. As Tosfos continue to explain, Kodem Sheyascha Lomar Ki Atah Shemea Tefillas Amcha Yisrael Barachamim, which again is the phrase right before Baruch Atah Hashem, Yomar Aneinu. V'lo Yachtom, and you don't conclude the Aneinu of Baruch Atah Hashem Ma'on HaBeisora, as the Chazan does, Ela Yomar Ki Atah Hashem Ona Beisora Umoshia, which is the conclusion of Aneinu without the bracha. V'achakach, then you continue in Shema Koleinu, Ki Atah Shemea Tefillas Amcha Yisrael Barachamim, Baruch Atah Hashem Shemea Tefillah, which is of course indeed our practice. Aval, Shliach Sibur. So then, Omer Gol Yisrael, V'koveya Bracha V'chosein. Shliach Sibur indeed says the seventh Bracha Shmon Esrei, ending with the words Gol Yisrael, and says an additional Bracha V'aneinu, and ends with the unique ending of Aneinu, Baruch Hashem Ho'anev Eis Tzara, and then continues Rifa'inu. So this is our practice. It's interesting that there's a chiddush in these words of Tosfos, and it's not actually unanimously accepted by all the Rishonim. The Rosh quotes the Rav Yoh that when we would declare a fast day on some tzara, chas v'shalom, so we all would be like Yechidim, and even the Shliach Tzibur would not be koveya a bracha b'fnei atzmo.
Even though we maintain that the Shliach Tzibur does indeed add in a separate bracha
on the four or five fast days, including Tainus Esther, the four, of course, being Tisha B'Av and Shavuos B'Tammuz and Tzom Gedalia and Asar B'Teves. And the reason for that is that those are universally observed fast days and therefore are for sure called the Tainus Tzibur, at least with respect to the bracha v'aneinu. And therefore the Shliach Tzibur can be koveya bracha l'atzmo and say the extra bracha between Goel Rofe. But if an individual kohol, an individual community, would declare Tzibur fast days for some kind of tzara, then even if you have 10 people fasting, then you would not have the chazan say an additional bracha in the Shemona Esrei, and he would be like a yachid. The basis of this ruling is based on a gemara on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, where the Gemara states that the Anshei Ninveh needed rain in Nisan, which was not typical. So Rebbe Paskin for them that they should not be reciting the same Talamata Levracha in Barech Aleinu, but rather only in Shomei Tfilah, because they're not considered a Tzibor, they're considered like Yechidim, and therefore they would not be able to modify that Bracha Barech Aleinu. So from there the Rav Yoh learns that certainly to recite a separate Bracha on a fast day could only be done when it's considered a tzibur and not just yechidim. So an individual community that decreed a fast day on a tzara would be considered yechidim with respect to this, similar to Anshei Ninveh.
And the Rosh disagrees, passing like the Rosh. So it could be that Tosis is actually also siding with that opinion of the Rosh, that all the times when you declare a fast day, a shliach tzibur would say a bracha b'fnei atzmo, even if it's a fast day that's not midivrei neviim.
And even for one kohol against the Rav Yoh, like the Rosh, one would be able to have the chazan recite a separate bracha v'aneinu between Goel Rofe on a fast day that was decreed for some kind of tzara.
The Gemara, in trying to prove one way or the other as to whether or not a yochid is koveya bracha v'fnei atzmo to add in a bracha to the Shemona Esrei, so the Gemara then proceeded to quote a brisa that ain ben yachid tzibur el shezem mispal shmona esrei zem mispal al chasrei, that the individual daven shmona esrei, meaning he doesn't say aneinu as a brach b'fnei atzmo, and the tzibur says 19 brachos, meaning he is in another brach. So the Gemara quotes a brisa that ain ben yachid tzibur concerning fasting, there's no difference between an individual and a community, except for the fact that the individual davens 18 brachos, meaning regular Shmona Esrei, and adds an aneinu in one of the brachos, we know Shema Koleinu, and Tzibur adds in a new bracha, as we said earlier, Bengal Rofe, and therefore we'll have 19. So the Gemara at first points out that at first glance, we can't be talking about a Tzibur, meaning a tiny Tzibur, and the 19 brachos would be recited by the Shliach Tzibur of that Tzibur. Because in a tiny Tzibur, there aren't 19 brachos, there are 24 brachos. Six extra brachos that are added on is recorded in the second parak on the fast days. So it must mean, by the word Tzibur, that a yochid who accepted upon himself the stringencies of a tiny Tzibur, that he actually says a 19th bracha. So Gemara is doche, that there are certain fast days where we don't have those full 24 brachos, and therefore we only have 19. And that's what the brisa means by saying the word Tzibur. But a yochid always only has 18 brachos, meaning does not say a bracha b'fnei atzmo of aneinu. Then the Gemara proceeds to record another brisa that seems to indicate that that's not true, that on all fast days we say the 24 brachas, at least the fast days for rain, because of the brisa that states, Ein bein, tainis rishonis, tainis emtsiyos, that there's no difference between the first fast days and the middle fast days on rain, three and the three being the most lenient, the first three and the middle three being somewhat more stringent, being 25-hour fast days, as well as being Asr b'malacha, Rechitza, etc. So the Brais has stated that there's nothing between those two except for the fact that in the first three, one is Mutter b'asiyas malacha, and in the later three, one is Asr b'asiyas malacha. The implication is that for the 24 brachos that are added on a fast day, they're the same, and the default would be that you say it in both of them. And then the Gemara is Docha, the Tana v'Shiyah. What exactly does that mean? Thus explain, again, similar to Rashi, Pirish, Tana Asiyas Malacha, that the author of the Braisa taught the difference concerning work, that in the first fast days work is permissible, and in the latter fast days is prohibited. V'shiyer Chof Dalet Brachos. And the author of the Braisa left out the distinction concerning Chof Dalet Brachos. meaning that that also, at least according to this stage of the Gemara, is omitted on the first three fast days and is stated in the middle fast days. And now Tosis elaborates as to what those Chofta Ala Brachas are, because it's the first time we're being exposed to it. We didn't learn about it yet, because it appears in the second parak. Pirish, Chofta Ala Brachas, Shebetanisa, Hayamosifin Vav Brachas. The 24 Brachas, since on a fast day, they would add in 6 Brachas to Shmon Esrei, 18 plus 6, total 24. Of course, our Shmon Esrei is already 19 because of Olam HaShinim, so it'll be 25, but the numbering was based on the old Shmon Esrei, which didn't have 19, but rather 18. Kedem Mefarsh Lekamon Reish Perek Beis, as is explained later at the beginning of the second perek. Tais Divya Maschel Maishir, the High Shir, Chulei. The Gemara is suggesting that the Braisa that says there's no distinction between the first three fast days for rain and the middle three fast days for rain, except for the fact that in the first three fast days one is allowed to do work and the middle three fast days one is not allowed to do work, presumably also including all of the rest of the Inuyim, the prohibitions against Rechitza and Sicha and Nilsa Sandal and Tashmemita. So the simple implication would be that in both of them we are saying Chof Dalet Brachas, and then the Gemara is Docha, the Tana V'Shir, that it didn't give an exhaustive list of the distinctions. So then the Gemara asked, my Shir, the High Shir, which is Tosis Dibri Maschil. So Tosis explained, what do those words mean? Pirish, the Mishim Chara Milsa, Lohava, the Bachi is in one word, Le, Lohavi Le, Litana L'Shayer, meaning that if you have a list of distinctions between area A of Halacha and area B of Halacha, so either it should give an exhaustive list, or it should give a partial list, and it should leave over some things. That would be called Tana V'Shir. But to give an exhaustive list and just to leave out one, that wouldn't make sense. If you're already giving an exhaustive list, so list all of them. Don't just leave out one. So Tos explained that the minimum omission in order to say it's not an exhaustive list would be two. That's exactly the words, my shir, the high shir. What did it leave out such that it left out the other thing as well? In this context, that it left out the Chof Dalet Brachas, even if you assume that there is a distinction between the first fast days and the middle fast days. On the first fast days you don't say them, and the middle fast days you do say them. So what else did it leave out? So the Gemara answers that it's limiting its scope to Isuri, that it's only talking about prohibitions, that the first three fast days are more lenient in terms of the prohibitions, that you're allowed to work, etc. And the middle fast days, you're not allowed to work, etc. It's not talking about the quote-unquote ritual laws of the additions of tefillah. So now Tosis gets stuck with Akasha from other Masechtas having to do with the methodology of the Gemara, when it has this kind of structure of Ein Bein. Vim Tomar, Tosis asks, Hacha Kamar, over here, the Gemara states, the lo tana v'shir, the ha ein bein ka'amar. Apparently, Tosis had the girsa that appears in Agamara, which the Bach somewhat questions whether we should really have it here, but certainly the Gemara says it later on as well. The ha ein bein katani, meaning that the possibility of tana v'shir, that we're giving a non-exhaustive list of distinctions, only applies when you didn't use the phraseology of ein bein, because ein bein literally means there is nothing between. So several parts of our Gemara, according to Tosis, a total of twice, according to the Bach's Girsa once, that the meaning of Ein Bein is Dafka, that when we say there's no distinction between A and B, that means there's literally no distinction between them, unless we're talking about a specific area of Halacha, that within that specific area of Halacha, then there's no distinction, but that the list should be exhaustive, at least within that area. So Tosis now attacks from other Gemaras that imply otherwise. Vim Tomar, Hacha Kamar, the Lo Tana V'Shir. Here the Gemara says that you cannot say that they left over some distinctions, the Ein Bein Kamar, because it says the phrase Ein Bein. The Mashma, that implies the Ein Bein Zelazeh, Ela Elu Bilvad, that there's no distinction between this and this, between the area A of Halacha and the area B of Halacha, except for these. Vikasha, but that's difficult. Davin Megillah Katani and Masechta Megillah, where very famously toward the end of the first parak, tangentially, starts out with the lack of distinction between Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni, except for, etc. And then it has a whole series of Ein Beins, touring through Shas. So there it states, Ein Bein Nidorim Lenidavis, Ela Shenidorim Chayev Bachriyuson, and Nidavis Eino Chayev Bachriyuson. We're talking about Karbanos, technically speaking, as Rashi points out on Chumash, primarily discussed in Seder Kochim, that a neder is where a person takes a vow for a korban where he states, Harei Alai korban, either Harei Alai Ola, Harei Alai Shlomim, that I am accepting a vow to bring a korban. And a nedava is where you go to an animal and you identify it and amakdish it and sanctify it as a particular korban, such as Harei Zo Ola or Harei Zo Shlomim. So the Mishnah tells us in Megillah that the distinction, and the only distinction as indicated by the phrase Ein Bein, Shenedarim Chaya Bachriyusan, Unadavis Ein Chaya Bachriyusan, meaning that if you said Harei Alei Ola, for example, and then you later designated an animal as a fulfillment of that vow, and then that animal gets lost, so you are Chaya Bachriyusan, literally meaning you're liable for its responsibility, and if it gets lost, you have to dedicate another one for the carbon because you said Harei Alei. Until you get the job done, it's not done. But if, on the other hand, you designate a specific animal as a carbon, which is called an adava, Harei Zo Ola, so if it gets lost, your vow is evaporated and you don't have to replace it unless you want to. So that is the distinction that the Mishnah gives between a neder and a dava, and according to the model of Ein Bein, always being exhaustive, so there shouldn't be any other distinctions. So now Tosis is going to proceed to ask that there is another distinction. What is that other distinction? So Tosis continue, the first word in the line is Eino, the last word in the line is the Yesh, in the middle of the line. V'anu Yodin, the Yesh, the Bach said, adds in one word, Beinehen. The Yesh Beinehen, Chiluk Acher. There is another distinction between a neder and a dava. The Nedarim Einon Boim Ela Minachulin. A neder has to come from unconsecrated property that you're not obligated to somehow bring to the Mikdash in some kind of other capacity. And similarly, it would have to be purchased from Moos Chulin, or unconsecrated money, and not money that already is somehow holy through some other designated purpose. Meaning, a standard animal that is not holy in some other way.
Purchased by money that is not holy in some other way.
Why? This, since Kol Davar Shebechova Eino Bo Ela Menachulin, anything that you are obligated to bring has to come from things that are totally unconsecrated, and that it's only because of your obligation that it's being brought as a carb. As we said before, a regular animal
purchased by regular money.
By contrast, Unadavos, Unadavo, where you say Harezo, Boos Min HaMaiser, that has the ability to come from Maiser.
Meaning, if one has Miser Shani money, or the second tithe that one takes in the produce, and instead of bringing it up to Yerushalayim, one redeems it on its value, plus sometimes a Chomesh, so one is supposed to use that money to buy food that halachically is considered to grow from the ground and reproduces, which includes regular fruits and vegetables, and also animals. Actually, the ideal spending of Maaser Sheni Yerushalayim would be for Korbanos Shlomim.
Now, we'll follow the Girsa of the Bach, taking out the next word, Kidomar, and adding in the word, Kidichsiv. As is written, V'zavachta Shlomim V'achalta Gabe Maaser, that you slaughter a Korban Shlomim, and you could eat it, and that's written in the context of Maaser, okay? The specifics of the Pasuk and the Droshos, it's not our topic to go into. The actual Pasuk is being quoted here. It's written in the context of Har Evel and Har Grizim, but there's a drusha, Gzei Rishava, that connects it
to Maaser Sheni, that one is allowed to and even encouraged to use Maaser Sheni money, which has Kedusha to it has sanctity to it, and has to be used for specific purposes, to purchase Korbanos Shlomim. So in a case where one hadn't already committed to bring a Korban Shlomim with a neder of Harei Alei Shlomim, in which case one would not be allowed to use that Maaser Sheni for that, to purchase a Shlomim and have that count for his vow, for his nether. But one is allowed to go to a random animal and purchase it, and then designate that as a Shlomim, which is the nature of an Adava, where you say Harezo Shlomim. So here we have holy money that already is a Chova to spend in a certain way, being able to be utilized for an adava, but not being able to be utilized for a neder.
So on the margin in the Ozvara edition, they point out that this is based on a Gemara in Masechta Menachos, Daf Pei Beis Amud Aleph, that talks about the interrelationship between Maaser and Karbanos. There specifically, the Gemara Menachos was talking about a Karban Toda. So Tosis is already extending it to a Karban Shlomim. So in sum, Tosis point out that our Gemara seems to imply, at least according to the Maskana, that Ein Bein is an exhaustive list. But yet we find in that Mishnah Megillah that the Ein Bein between Nedarim and Nedavis is not exhaustive. Because one nafkamina is the concept of achrayis, whether you have to replace it if it gets lost. And another nafkamina is whether or not you could bring it from something that's already consecrated in a different context, such as Maaser Sheni money being used to purchase the carbon. That a neder you cannot, has to come from chulin, from scratch, so to speak, and a nedava you can. So Tosis' answer is follows. We'll use the emendation of the Bach and follow his girsa. The Hosam Nami. Now we're going to add in two words. Lechol Devrehem and take out the letter Dalit. The Hosam Nami Lechol Devrehem Zev Zeh Shoveh. That there also the Ein Bein can be taken quite literally. That for all their matters, they are equivalent. Ah, but they're not. As Tosa just pointed out regarding coming from something that's already holy, that for a Neder you can't do it and for a Dov you can. The Tosa points out, similar to our Gemara, where if you limit the scope of what the Ein Bein is going on, just like our Gemara suggested, that the Ein Bein between the first fast days and the middle fast days is only dealing with Isurim, and it's not dealing with Tefillah, and what the Gemara later is going to say concerning the distinction between the middle fast days and the last fast days, that it's only dealing with things that you do in private, and it's not dealing with things that you do in public. So if you limit the scope of the Ein Bein, that's also valid. So here too, we could limit the scope of the Ein Bein as follows. Bahani Mili, again, following the Bach's emendations, adding in the words that appear a few words away from here. Bahani Mili, Yesh Beinehem, adding in the word Beinehem. Hani Mili, Yesh Beinehem, Chiluk Gabe Shlomim. That there is indeed a distinction between a neder and a dava concerning a korban shlamim, and on that the Ein Bein of the Mishnah Megillah would not be exhaustive. But hadik tani Ein Bein, that which it taught Ein Bein in the Mishnah Megillah, mairi ba'olos, it is referring to a korban ola. If we narrow the scope that within a korban ola, which is the standard example of a korban of a re'alai and a rezo, so then the Ein Bein olos dinadarim la olos dinadava, there is no distinction between an ola of a nether and an ola of an adava, meaning of an ola of a re'alai ola and an ola of a rezo ola, elash and adarim chayiv bachriyusan, that nadarim you're liable for their responsibility, meaning if it gets lost, you have to replace it. Mashe ain came in adava, that you don't have to replace it.
And why is Tosa saying that concerning a korban ola, that is the only distinction?
Deha ein bein olas l'nedarim l'olas l'nedavis ela chiluk zeh. That concerning olos, that is the only distinction, the concept of achrayus. Now why is that? Deha kol olos einan boin ela minachulin. Because there's no such thing as an ola coming from something that's already consecrated before him. Let's elaborate on that.
Based on the elucidation of Rav Elchanan in the Tosis in Chagiga, Daf Ches Amid Aleph. Maaser Sheni money has to be spent on something that you're going to eat. So it could be utilized to buy fruits and vegetables, to buy animals, and also to buy Karbona Shlamim, which are eaten by the owners. But they cannot be utilized to purchase Karbonos Ola, because Ola, as its name implies, goes fully up on the Mizbeach and is totally burnt outside of the skin. So in any case, a Karbon Ola, neither a neder of Harei Alai nor an adava of Harei Zo could ever be purchased by already Kadosh money such as Maaser Sheni, because Maaser Sheni money, as we mentioned, has to be utilized for things that have to be eaten. So hence, concerning an Ola, there is no other distinction other than the Nafkamina of Achrayas, of whether you're responsible if it gets lost to bring another one, but it does not have a Nafkamina in terms of whether it can come only from Chulin or even from Chova. Because with Ola, there's no distinction between a Dava and Neder. Because in any case, the Maaser Sheni money would have to be utilized to purchase something that you eat, such as a Shlomim. Only concerning a Shlomim would there be such a distinction between a Neder and a Dava, that Maaser Sheni could not be utilized to purchase a Neder of a situation where someone said Harei Alai Shlamim, but could be used to purchase an animal such as an adava, in which case one is just utilizing the money to buy an animal and then to say Harei Zo Shlamim. So although there is a distinction concerning Shlamim besides the Nafkamina of Achrayas, but concerning Ola, which Tosfos limits the scope of that Ein Bein Mishnah in Masecht Megillah too, the only distinction is one of Achrayas.
So, in sum, Tosa points out that the maskana of our Gemara seems to be that Ein Bein is exhaustive, and we have Akasha from Ein Bein Nedarim L'Davis, because there seems to be another distinction, and Tosa points out that if you limit the scope to Karbon Ola, so then indeed the Ein Bein is exhaustive. Tosa Maskel V'Tisbara V'Hashir Teva. The Gemara at the very end of the Amud quotes a brisa that says that there's no distinction between the three middle fast days and the seven latter fast days, because both sets are 25-hour fast days, and both of them are aser with malacha and all the other prohibitions. That only on the latter seven do we sound the alarm. The Gemara on the next Amud has a debate whether it's referring only to Tkiyah Shofar, or it's also referring to Anenu, the extra slichos of Anenu, Avinu, Anenu. And we also close the food stores. The implication is that you say Choftaleh Brochis on both. The Gemara suggests that maybe it's Tana V'Shir. So the Gemara says can't be because it's Ein Bein. Then the Gemara says, the Tisbara, Ein Bein Dafka. Can you say that Ein Bein is precise? There clearly is a distinction between the seven last fast days and the three middle ones. Because Vahashir Teva. Teva means the Aron Kodesh that holds the Sefer Torah that they would take out into the city street, but only on the last fast days. And then the Gemara answers that that's not considered a leftover because of the fact that they're only dealing with private matters, not public matters. Private matters are fast days that are done in the shuls, and not public matters that are done in the street. So we're going to file out a Bach's Girsos here, who actually breaks this Tosis up into two separate Tosis. The first Tosis is explaining what Teva is, and the second Tosis is explaining the logic of the words of the Gemara of Vitisbra the Hashir Teva. So the first part of the Tosis, Vitisbra Vashir Teva. What is the Teva? Pirish. The Bach adds in two letters, Kidem Mefarash Lekaman, as is explained later on Daftes Vav Mebei, Shemotzin Ateva Berchov Ha'ir. Here we take out the parenthesized word, Beachronos, that they take out the Aron Kodesh to the city street only in the last fast days. The Bach adds in, Avalo Bemtzayus, but not in the middle ones. So that's where the Gemara is now challenging, that there is an additional leftover, and how could you say that Ein Bein is exclusive? So now we're going to start a new Tosis according to the Bach. Vitisbara, not diha, but viha. Vitisbara vaha shir teva. So now we explain what that phrase means in the context of the Gemara. Pirish. Veleka lameimar divisura kamairi. And we cannot answer as the Gemara answered earlier. When the Gemara quoted a brisa, that there's no distinction between the first set of three fast days for rain and the middle set of three fast days for rain, except for the fact that in the first set of fast days, they are mutar malacha, and in the middle set of fast days, they are asur malacha. And the Gemara at first thought to say that concerning Choftaleh Brochis, did you say it in both of them? And then the Gemara was Doche, they were only talking about the scope of Isurim, not the scope, so to speak, of ritual of Tefillah. So that's what Tosis is saying now, that here the Gemara could not have given that answer, that the distinction between the middle fast days and the last fast days, where it discusses that the distinction is concerning closing the shops of Noel and Achanuyos and bringing the Tev into the street, that it's only talking about Isura, and therefore it's not dealing with Choftaleh Brochis, which is ritual and not Isura. So that's what Tos explains. Veleka lameimar divisura kamairi. We cannot answer, as we said earlier, that we're only dealing with Isurim. Daha demasriyan v'noelin mai isur ika. That concerning sounding the alarm, blowing the shofar, and saying anenu, and closing the stores, mai isur ika. That's not an isur, that's a mitzvah, a chiyuv that you have to do, a ritual that you have to do, either to blow the shofar or to close the stores. Perhaps you could have gotten away with closing the stores, that it's usher to keep the stores open, even though Tosis is phrasing it as a chiyuv to close the stores. But certainly Masriyan is about ritual, things having to do with prayer. So if we're already dealing with things having to do with prayer, then you should list the Choftaleh Brochis. The fact that you didn't list the Choftaleh Brochis in the list of distinctions implies that both in the middle fast days and the last fast days that you do say Choftaleh Brochis. And then the Gemara suggests that it left out other things too, perhaps Teva, as we mentioned earlier.